Gurdjieff Prabhupada. Please, I ask for apology for being a little late. Hare Krishna. So before we start, let's offer our prayers to our Guru Parampara. Om Jnanati Mirandasa Jnananjana Slakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Prakadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shivta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Hamsajivam Sadavaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padata Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Deena Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Vipasindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namona Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Nath Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Shri Rupa Jai Shri Ramata. So, now we offer prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaurupishe Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is more vijnanavas than any other avatara, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely what no one else has ever given as Krishna Prema. Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam Sangha Pango Astra Pashadam Yajna Sankirtana Praye Yajna Ijanti Su Medasa. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregation chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Nana Sastra Vicharanaika Nipunau Sharadharma Samstapakau Lokanam Hitakarinau Tribhuvane Manyau Sharanyakarau Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Anandena Mattalikau Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yugau Shri Jeeva Gopalakau. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, namely Shri Sanatana Goswami, Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jeeva Goswami, and Shri Gopal Bhatt Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizing and studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all the human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Shri Shri Radha and Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Narom Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nashta Praesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय श्री कृष्ण गोविंद पुरुषोत्तम तुझे। Hare Krishna everyone. Again, please accept my humble obeisances, all Krishna Prabhupada. Welcome back everyone. And I'm very sorry I'm a little late. I just dozed off, you know. Hare Krishna. So today what we're going to attempt to do is to try to review about whatever we know about Krishna's external potency Maya, the ontology of Maya. Ontology means all about what we know about Maya, Krishna's external potency. So in this very first slide, you can see there are four topics and that we are going to be discussing. Now, as I told you at the very beginning, this particular section of Paramatma Sandarbha is really the largest one. Nearly over 1.5, 50% of the entire Sri Paramatma Sandarbha is about the ontology of Maya. So that itself should tell us that it's a very, very important section of Sri Paramatma Sandarbha. And that's what I decided to do, a review, three reviews, instead of normally we do two reviews. Into the last segment, 14, I'm not sure we would do the review, you know. So in this second review, first we reviewed the first 9 lessons. So about Maya, and that is lessons number 10 to 21. So now the only last 3 lessons are remaining, 21, 22, 23, 24 actually. Yeah. So that we will do next week onwards. So here, actually, I had really barely about little over 3 hours time to prepare this afternoon to edit so many slides, and still it came to about nearly about 32 slides. So a lot of material we need to cover. If I had little more time, I would have probably cut down still 1/3, you know. So a lot of slides we would really zip through actually, you know. Remember, we are reviewing the highlights. We are not going to try to learn the subject. Basically, whatever we already learned, we are going to reawaken from our, you know, is what exactly what I'm trying to, we are trying to take a course on this GRE. As I told you before, it's an important test I have to give in just about less than 3 months. And that will really decide whether or not my dream to get accepted in a very reputed school for doing another PhD. So I've been preparing very, very hard for that. Most of my time is taken up in that actually now. So that's why I didn't get much time to prepare for this. So let's get back to here. So there also actually, while I was preparing GRE, I have two professors actually. They give lots and lots of homework, lots of assignments, lots of problems to solve and so on like that. So they also said, why I'm saying this thing, but that reminds me what my professor said in their introduction, in the very first class, they mention that reviewing this material for this course, we are not going to teach you again, but basically to revive whatever you learnt. So in my case, it was especially difficult because GRE is all about, English, but math also, and math, algebra, geometry, arithmetic, and so on. What I learned some years back, I almost forgot. So my professor said that I'm not, because there's no way we can teach in just few classes. So here also there's no way when I can again really conduct classes to really go through all the lessons that we went through that. It's just basically reviving our memory bank actually, you know, whatever we learned so far. So as you can see, lesson 10, which is one of the most important lesson in this context, that is about Mayas. As you know, Maya is Paramatma's external potency, Bahiranga Shakti. So Maya has two divisions, fundamentally two divisions, and then there are further subdivisions, respective subdivisions, and also there is a functional interrelationship. That is what we need to really keep in mind actually. So that is what we are going to try to revive our memory, whatever we learned. So we will just zip through these slides, and in a way just cover the highlights. Then lessons 11 through 17, we would learn about the cosmic manifestation, the manifestation of this cosmic world, you know, how Paramatma makes it manifest by this external potency Maya, you know. And there we would discuss these two important philosophies, Shakti Parinamvada, which is based on the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam, so that's the Vaishnava philosophy, as opposed to this Vivartavada philosophy that has been proposed, supported by this radical Advaitavadis or Mayavadis. So that's where Jiva Goswami really takes a very strong position and refutes very convincingly the Vivartavada philosophy or Mayavadi philosophy. So it's a lot of philosophy. So that is what we are going to try to cover, some basic aspects of it, how Srila Jiva Goswami defeats. First, we would go through the very fundamental differences in these two kinds of philosophies in regard to the cosmic manifestation. Okay, so that is second segment of it. In the third segment, that we will cover about Maya's relationship to both the jivas, the living entities, and Paramatma. Maya controls the jivas, but Maya is herself under control by Paramatma. So there we will cover some very, very important questions that he put forward to Maitreya Muni. And Maitreya, so there are some 7 or 8 questions are there, and Maitreya Muni is answering that those questions. So that we will cover, and the final, last but not the least, in lessons 19 through 21, we will cover Bhagavan's impartiality. He is sama sarveshu bhuteshu, and yet he is indeed partial to his devotees. So how to solve this dichotomy, this seemingly contradictions. So that we will go through that. So that really covers the entire review of the ontology of Maya. So let's get into it. So here you see these two divisions, which is shown in red color and blue color. On the right hand side, in the center, you'll see there's a nimitta cause or instrumental cause of prakriti or material nature, and then there is a upadana cause or the constituent cause. So these are two divisions of Maya, which you also calls Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. And how that is connected, which is shown, its functional relationship is shown on the left side of it, you know. So both the subtle body and the gross body. So the whole, this cosmic manifestation is really due to these karmas. When the previous cycle ended, the jivas, along with all the karmas, those jivas, those living entities who did not cut over the great infatuation with their material desires, they did not become Krishna conscious, they did not become qualified to go back to spiritual world, they go back in the body of Mahavishnu along with their stored karmas and all their material desires dormant within them. So these karmas are the one, are the real cause of this cosmic manifestation in this regard, you know. Of course, we know the real reason that we'll see in the last part, as Krishna comes only for the sake of his devotees, and only for the sake of devotees he actually, to bring back to his spiritual world. That is why this material creation is there, and the cyclic manifestation, cyclic unmanifestation that takes place. So in order for Jiva to recover, to give up those material desires, for that this material world gets manifested. So karma, in fact, that is the cause, the nimitta karana for cosmic manifestation. In fact, that is one of the 10 subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is called Uta. So this karma is becomes that reason for that. So the way Paramatma manifests through his external potency Maya is because of the Paramatma's time potency, Kala, as you can see in the topmost left side of the slide, Kala. So Kala is the one, the time is the one which activates the primordial material nature, the three modes of material nature, the gunas, that become activated, because the primordial material nature, also called pradhana, that's where the three modes of material nature are in equilibrium during the dissolution. So when the next cycle of creation comes to existence, so what time of Paramatma's potency does is to activate those three modes, and that is done by this. Alright? And then karmas get activated. So karmas give rise to this daiva or the destiny, and then the destiny itself brings about the swabhava unmanifest state of the daiva, this one particular nature, particular inclination of the jivas. So these four, time, karma, daiva or destiny, and swabhava, these four constitute the subtle body, and the subtle body is the cause, nimitta karana, instrumental cause of this prakriti, material nature, pradhana, primordial material nature. And then we see this blue color, the left and bottom portion, these five elements which together constitute the gross body, the dravya or matter, the subtle or the causal elements, that is the five gross elements, field or the kshetra, the vital force, prana, and the empirical self, the atma, and then this, all the 16 kinds of transformation that is taking place, the modification. So these together, five elements, cause gross body. So both gross body and the subtle body are actually, is the cause, the upadana cause, or the constituent cause, prakriti. And how these two subdivisions, two divisions of maya, this nimitta karana and upadana karana, are interconnected, is shown the right hand side, is through this what you call aham tattva, or avidya, ahankara. Now that is called I consciousness, I, me and mine. I told you before, there are two kinds of aham tattva. One that is normal, that is desirable, the by which that is based on spiritual aspect, that we are spirit soul, we are part and parcel of Supreme Lord. So that is the ego that is desirable, and that is always there, that never goes away, that is free from desha, kala, circumstance and so on like that. So that itself becomes the seat for this other kind of ahankara. Ahankara means that is based on body consciousness, bodily conception of life, that I am this body, you know, and that's how this we develop ill desires and we turn our face away from Krishna. So that is the one which is undesirable element, undesirable ahankara. So that is the one, so that is a production of this both, that's the one which connects these two, nimitta karana and upadana cause. And so nimitta karana is connected to upadana cause because of that. And upadana cause interconnects back again with nimitta karana through this subtle and gross body, as we just saw that. The jiva, or the conditioned self, includes both these two divisions of maya, nimitta and upadana, as we'll see in a while, how the further subdivisions of these two fundamental divisions that really controls the living entities and puts us in this illusory nature, you know, also right hand corner, the green color, and the bottom right hand is this color, influences both subtle and gross bodies. Okay, so this we must remember, the basic elements. Lot of information is condensed in this particular slide. Okay, so here again, the Paramatma's Bahiranga Shakti Maya, with these two divisions, the Nimitta Karana and Upadana Karana or Amsha, also called Jiva Maya, Nimitta Karana, also, and Upadana cause is also called Guna Maya. Now, Jiva Maya is further subdivided into these two potencies. Avidya potency, which causes bondage in material existence, and the Vidya potency that causes liberation. Of course, Maya, we saw, it cannot liberate us by itself, actually. It's just a stepping stone. Liberation is actually, because Maya does not have any power to grant liberation, you know. But it's a doorway or a stepping stone for a higher Vidya. There, internal point is Swarupa Shakti of the Supreme, that really grants liberation. Alright? It's the avidya potency is further subdivided into these two, as is shown in the left and bottom portion, the Avarana Atmika Shakti and Vikshepa Atmika Shakti. What Avarana Atmika Shakti does is covers our true knowledge, that we are this, not we are not this body, we are spirit soul. So first it covers that under this avidya potency. Avidya is avarana shakti. Avarana means is a curtain, so that covers that and puts us in this bodily conception of life. This through this Aham Tattva, Aham Bhagat does in this Vikshepa Atmika, further it then furnishes the jiva with illusory knowledge. So it takes away the true knowledge and replaces with this false knowledge, you know, illusory knowledge. So then the jiva is completely becomes disillusioned, you know. But the Vikshepa Atmika Shakti, as you see here, is also a function of Upadana cause. Because Upadana cause is the one which supplies all the illusory things that puts us in this material world. Alright? So this is the summary of the Maya's two divisions and their respective subdivisions. Alright? Now we will see the further subdivisions of Jiva Maya and Igna Maya itself. There you see here in the left hand portion, the Nimitta Karana can be seen, can be visualized, really literally visualized. It's called, in Sanskrit it's called Tridha Drashyate. Three ways we can visualize is by Jnana, Icha and Kriya. Now the way the Paramatma does, Paramatma, as I told you, Paramatma has only one reason he manifests this material world. For the benefit of his devotees, he wants to reclaim back his devotees back in the spiritual world. So that is his knowledge, yeah, alright? And because of that, then he developed a desire to come back for his devotees. So that's Icha. He actually executes the desire by his action, Kriya, and that is this cosmic manifestation, you know. And then he, of course, he sends his representatives, he provides all these scriptural injunctions, then he himself descends in material world in different incarnations and so on like that. So that is with himself. We will see how the living entities also have these three kinds. Living entities, jnana, when it comes to the material world, is only focused how to carry out my material desires, right? But of course when he becomes devotee, then his knowledge he gathers about Paramatma. And then his Icha, living entities, material desires, is this their Icha. And the way they execute is by this going through his sense objects. So his senses are attracted to the sense objects, and that is by execution. So you can see the two fundamental ways Paramatma and the living entities differ in this aspect way. So that's Tridha Drashyate. Now let's look at the Upadana cause, the subdivision called Tri Gunam. Of course, that's three modes of material nature. So one is the Avyakta that you see in the right hand portion. Avyakta is the unmanifest, and that's all about the primordial material nature, which is unmanifest. And then there's Pradhana, the preeminent support for that. And then of course this primordial conditionality, Prakriti. These are the three subdivisions of Upadana cause. Remember, we are at this point, we are just, as I told you, we are just going through the highlights. We're not trying to relearn new things, right? Okay, so now, so there's all about lesson 10, the most important lesson. Because that gave us the fundamental insight of Maya operates. How Maya really puts us under this the illusion of this illusory world, material world. Material world is not illusory, as we are going to see in just a few minutes. The material world is real. Unlike what the Mayavadis said, that's an illusion. So it is the real material world is real but temporary. But the living entities makes this material world as its kshetra, you know, and to carry out its material desires. So here is slide, lessons 11 through 17, about the cosmic manifestation of Maya. So this is how, what I just told you before, this material manifestation takes place, and its relationship, Maya's relationship with Paramatma. And that's where we are going to see these two fundamentally divergent philosophies, Shakti Parinamvada and Vivarvada philosophy. That is lesson 11 and 12. That we will see just the basic introduction. What is the fundamental difference between these two philosophies as it relates to this cosmic manifestation, you know? And then lesson 13 and 14 is about how everything that is non-different from Paramatma, you know. And then we will see in lesson 15 much more greater details about philosophy and how Srila Jiva Goswami, by his powerful argument, Bhagavatam, he defeats this Vivartavada philosophy of the Advaitavadis. And then in lesson 16, we will see about this manifest and unmanifest states of the universe. Sata and Asata. Sat means manifest, Asat means which is unmanifest. Of course, that is translated differently by the Mayavadis. They call Sat is real and Asat is unreal or illusion, you know. But that's not what Paramvada philosophy states. And then that is the causes that exist dependent of its effect, Satkaryavada of the Vaishnava philosophy, Shakti Parinamvada, versus the Asatkaryavada of the Mayavada. That is lesson 17. Alright, there's an overview of that. So here we stand. I told you that some of the slides we are going to zip through that. So first we will see the fundamental difference between these two philosophies as it relates to the cosmic manifestation. So here you see that Jiva Goswami very strongly refutes, very strongly with powerful arguments, he defeats the Vivartavada philosophy of the Mayavadis. That this cosmos mere illusory manifestation. That's what the Mayavadis say that. And that's a Vivartavada philosophy. Basically what Mayavadis are saying, that this Brahman, a part of the Brahman that splits, comes under the avidya potency of Maya that we just saw here. You know. Brahman itself comes under the control of Maya's avidya philosophy. And then, because of this upadhi as we defined earlier, that delimits because of the close proximity. Again, let me remind you what is the definition. And the best way to remember upadhi is to give this example, the analogy of this completely colorless prism. You know, when you place a red rose flower just behind this prism, and you look through the prism, then the prism is the flower. Because of the close proximity of the prism through this flower, the prism itself looks rosy, you know. Even though we know the prism is completely colorless. But because of proximity, the prism, this rose color, rosy color, is enforced, is superimposed on the prism. The same way, this avidya potency is superimposed as upadhi on this Brahman. And that's how both the jivas and this material world comes into existence. Otherwise, it's totally illusory material world. And that is the fundamental basis of Vivartavada. The very name Vivarta means it's illusion. So material world is not a reality, but an illusion. Maya. The Brahman itself comes under this avidya potency of Maya, you know. Now, of course, Shakti Parinamvada philosophy differs from that fundamentally. Brahman does not come under Maya's, because Brahman itself controls, Paramatma controls Maya. Paramatma owns Maya, so cannot come like that, you know. So what is causes that this Brahman or Paramatma is the one which itself gets modified, but the Paramatma himself does not get modified. That we will see in a moment, actually, you know. What is cause and effect? Whenever effect takes place, the cause also becomes transformed. And that's what Vivartavada is, our objective, that how can cause become free from transformation, just like milk transform into yogurt, then you don't see milk anymore, you know. Milk is transformed into yogurt. But here, Parinamvada philosophy is saying that when this Paramatma manifests material world, Paramatma remains totally unaffected. Paramatma is the supreme cause for this material manifestation, and yet Paramatma remains unaffected. So how to explain that? So that's what Jiva Goswami is saying. It's not Paramatma, but Paramatma is this external potency Maya, the primordial material nature Pradhana, that gets transformed and that becomes material world, you know. But Paramatma's own Swarupa Lakshana remains totally unchanged. So there's the fundamental difference. Okay. So Parinamvadi, as you see this slide, Sri Jiva Goswami reasons that the cosmos is not unreal, Satyam Jagam Mithya, because it's non-distinct from its real source, Paramatma. Because it's Paramatma's potency, you cannot separate energy from the energetic, you know. So it is real, but it undergoes cycles of manifestation and unmanifestation and dissolution. Even in the state of dissolution, this cosmic world still exists in the body of Mahavishnu, alright? And that's where the Sat and Asat comes into existence. That we'll just explain, we'll review in just a moment. So then how to account this immutability, unchanging nature of Paramatma? Because Mayavadi's counter that how his cause can remain without transformation. So that's where he's saying that he's only the instrumental cause of the cosmic world, Nimitta, but also it's a constituent cause, the Upadana cause. It provides the basic fundamental ingredients, constituents of material world that provides, you know. So this would seem to negate his immutability. So Jiva Goswami is resolving that part by saying that the part that undergoes a modification is not Paramatma's Swarupa Lakshana, but Paramatma's external potency Maya, the primordial material nature Pradhana, that undergoes transformation, you know. At the same time, Maya is not different from him. So simultaneous oneness and difference, that's called Achintya Bheda, Abheda Tattva philosophy. So then Jiva Goswami goes in great details about the world is a parinama, or the result, the very literally parinama means result of the this transformation taking place of Pradhana, you know, Paramatma, Paramatma Shakti. So there are four different ways he provides there. The way the Mayavadis contest based on the logic, but that's material logic. Here Jiva Goswami first of all makes it very clear, you cannot understand Paramatma based on this material logic. It's called transrational power. Rational means, when we say it's rational, then it's material, it's logical. But this is trans, this is beyond material logic. You cannot understand Paramatma by material reasoning, you know. Second point he makes, that world is real transformation of Pradhana, not Paramatma's Swarupa Lakshana. Third point he makes, this superimposing the upadhi, the Vivartavadi philosophy is saying the Brahman itself comes under the upadhi of this Maya's avidya potency. So that superimposition of upadhi is illusory, but not the objects. What he's trying to say, that how and the very favorite analogy Vivartavadi or Mayavadis present is this snake, this rope in a semi-darkness, rope dangling on the branch of a tree, and when its onlooker looks at it in a semi-darkness, he gives that appearance as if there's a snake is there, and immediately becomes really frightened by that. So snake is a vivarta, or the illusion of a rope. The snake doesn't exist there, all right? And so that gives the illusion of a snake, you know. But here Jiva Goswami is contesting that how can you say illusion means something that not existing, you know? But material world does exist. So superimposition is illusion only by the real objects. You cannot say by something that does not exist. So that point he raises that, you know. So Mayavadis then counteract. They're saying that yes, snake does not exist, and yet snake is the vivarta or the illusion, because even though it does not exist, it does cause, it does, makes people become frightened as if there's the snake is real there, you know. So, and they run away from that. Why? And that's what they're saying there. So, Jiva Goswami also counter and defects, defeats that counter argument also by again saying that that if that is the case, you know, then when the reality dawns on the person, then no, somebody tells him, no, there's no real snake there, you know. So he would then come back, and then of course he would not be frightened. Second point, that snake, that illusion comes into the mind only when he has had some experience snake in the past. Somebody who has never had any experience of a snake will never get that illusion, you know. Like for instance, a baby who has never seen a snake, he would not be afraid, and he would not understand, he would not have that kind of illusion, whereas this cannot accept to that, you know. With the fourth point that he's making is parinama, or is the as a result of the transformation of the material nature, the pradhana, and that's not vivarta, that is the real thing. That is the real cause that is based on Shastra. So in other words, he's saying that everything what he was saying is on the authority of Shrimad Bhagavatam that he's saying that, you know. So Shastra does not support the Vivartavada philosophy of the Mayavads. Whatever they're saying, they're also quoting the Shastra. But then systematically, Jiva Goswami is saying that their interpretation of Shastra is not correct. So I'm just summarizing these 4 points. Jiva Goswami goes at great length behind each of these points and quotes various verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. And then comes the manifest versus unmanifest state, alright? So Paramatma, as you see in this slide, is the conscious being, is the supreme conscious being, intrinsically endowed with diverse potencies. The fountainhead of the material universe bears the jivas within it, both the nimitta cause, that's by himself, and the upadana cause through his biopsy of the process of manifestation and manifest takes place actually. You know? So during the unmanifest state of the universe, what is there? It remains, so during dissolution, when the universe is not existing, but it does exist in the body of Mahavishnu in an unmanifest state. That is what what Jiva Goswami calls asata, but there he translates asata as not, because asata is translated
By the Vivartavadi, by the Mayavadi, is something that is not real, illusion. But here Jiva Goswami is translated asata, means that is real, but unmanifest. You know? So even in the unmanifested, it does exist during dissolution in the body of Mahavishnu. Along with the Jivas, without their gross or subtle bodies, it is a typo there, without their gross and subtle bodies in a dormant state. So Paramatma, in the left-hand side that you see, Paramatma is endowed with subtle, inert and conscious energies. With the right-hand side that you see, when the material gets manifested, manifest universe, then the Pradhana undergoes this transformation process. The three modes of material nature become activated by the time potency of Paramatma and becomes Mahatattva. And Mahatattva in the three, under the influence of three modes of material nature, then undergoes various transformations. You know, all the material elements formation takes place, all these details about the cosmic manifestation, you know. And then finally these five gross elements takes place, beginning earth, water, fire, air, ether, and so on, like that, you know. So jivas acquire their gross bodies and the subtle bodies. So then Paramatma is said to be endowed with both gross, inert and conscious energies. Okay, so that was the highlights of lesson 11 and 12. So what did we learn so far? What we are going to see here. So thus far Jiva Goswami established, so this is the point very important for us to keep in our mind, you know, that Paramatma is both the efficient cause, the nimitta cause, and the material cause, because that provides the basic ingredients, the basic constituents of the material world, as the Lord endowed with these potencies. So Paramatma always is pure. Again, Satkaryavada, to repeat again, Satkaryavada is cause and effect relationship. The effect is non-different from the cause. The cause is the origin of the results, no? And yet, the cause itself doesn't have to be similar to the results, you know. So, though the effect is accepted as being non-different from the cause itself is not exactly the same. So that's analogy is like thread and cloth, you know. The cloth is made of the thread, you know. So cloth in that way is not fundamentally anywhere different from the basic qualities of the thread. But thread itself is clearly not same as cloth, you know. The fourth point, the Paramatma has inconceivable potency by which a part of him undergoes modification in the form of the universe without causing any change in his fundamental sorupasha lakshana, essential nature. And this is in to refute the Mayavadi's point that how can cause remains free from undergoing any kind of transformation. When cause becomes effect, the cause also must be transformed in that way. Like milk becomes transformed into yogurt, the milk is totally disappears, you know. But here, what Jiva Goswami is saying, what goes transformation is not Paramatma's Swarupa Lakshana, but Paramatma's external potency Maya, the primordial material nature Pradhana, that undergoes transformation, you know. So, universe is non-different from Paramatma, so cause and effect. Effect is this universe, manifested as the universe, and the cause is Paramatma, you know. So in that way, universe is non-different from Paramatma, because universe comes from, you know, that in a way, you know, who is endowed with potencies to cause manifestation of the universe. Potency, again, the Bahiranga Shakti Maya, Paramatma's Maya potency. That's how universe becomes manifest. So in that regard, because Maya is the is the potency of the Paramatma, just the energy of the energetic person. So in that way, energy and energy person can be non-different, similar, same exactly. And yet, the energetic person is quite different. Person owns that energy, you know. He has that energy. He's a possessor of that energy. Energy being, it's just the element of that, you know. So simultaneous, same and difference. Okay. So on an empirical platform, now what is an empirical means? It's only material platform. Even though effect is from the cause must undergo some transformation of vikara as well as the product of the effect. That's what the Vimatvadi contention. No. Otherwise the cause and effect would be absolutely same, what they are saying, that, you know. So to manifest the cosmos in modifying prakriti, however, Paramatma remains unchanged. Now I am repeating again and again, just to make that point clearly understood in our mind, you know. And how does this take place? Because of Paramatma's inconceivable potency. You cannot, rational means, logically based on material platform, because it is transrational, it's beyond material logic, you know. And later on we'll see, even Maya, the way Maya controls Jivas, how is it possible? Maya is the inferior energy of the Paramatma, and the living entities are superior energy. So how an inferior energy can control superior energy, that is also is illogic, right? Based on material path. But there also we'll see, because Maya has this inconceivable potency, because Maya being the potency of Paramatma, external potency though, nonetheless, Maya also has this inconceivable potency, and that's how she controls the Jivas. Okay, so Paramatma is distinct from the creation generated out of Maya potency, from Maya and from the Jiva. So Paramatma is, so cause itself, even the effect is not, the cause itself is totally different from the effect. And effect means what? The material world as well as the Jivas. And on top of it, this Maya potency itself, you know, herself. That's also different from Maya, because that is external to Paramatma. So universe, the body, the sense objects, and the material elements are not, they are not independent of the cause. So that means they are not different from Paramatma. But Paramatma is completely distinct from all these things. So this is what we call inconceivable potency of Paramatma. And that is beyond material logic. So although an effect is not different from the cause is not absolutely one with its effect. So next, Jiva Goswami is going to explain that true perception depends upon the perceiver, who is the onlooker, you know, and hence the world is viewed differently by different people. That is also actually the potency of Paramatma. So that's getting into nitty-gritty detail. I don't want to nitty-gritty details. So how is this material world that is considered non-different from Paramatma? So here Jiva Goswami actually quotes the verses that the Vedas personified speak, you know, that the three causes that give, that the three reasoning, you know, that he is the constituent cause, upadana cause, particularly by his potency of existence, sat. And the nice analogy is here, the gold is constituent cause of all the gold ornaments. No? From the gold, all gold ornaments are made. So ornaments are not different in that gold property, the gold. They are same, one and the same. Yet the gold itself is not exactly the same as ornaments. Just like the thread and cloth analogy. Second point, they are saying that those who are devoted to Paramatma can see him in everything. They are compared to the jeweler in the quest of the gold. You know, So other people may not distinguish that, but the jeweler knows very clearly that all the ornaments, the basic ingredients is the gold, you know. So they can clearly see that. Third point, it is the manifestation from the Lord who created it and then entered within it in two ways. As its remitting cause, nimitta, and it's the immanent self itself, you know, himself is there, you know. So this is about the three Purusha incarnation, three Purusha, this, you know, Karanadaksha Vishnu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, and Chirodaksha Vishnu, like that, you know. So as you can see, this is the way to revive whatever you already learned sometime back. Just 2 days before we appeared in an exam, we are not going to try to learn something different, relearn the subject. We are reviving what we already learned. So this is what we are doing right now, actually, now. So all these lessons, different lessons over this period of several weeks that we learned, by going through the highlights, reviving that, and we are putting in our memory bank, in a long-term memory bank, you know, instead of short-term memory. That's what we are doing that, you know. And that's what you also have to do that. From time to time, you have to go through that, you know. So here now, Jiva Goswami goes in great details about both the Shakti Parinamvada philosophy based on the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vivartavada philosophy of the Mayavadis, and how he defeats that. So that's what Jiva Goswami established, that the universe is the result of transformation of Paramatma's external potency, Maya. And so that's literally the definition of Shakti Parinamvada. Parinam means as a result of. Okay. So as the result of the modification of the primordial material nature Pradhana, the material universe comes into existence, manifest. So that refutes the theory of illusion. Vivartavadi says there's no children, does not exist. What we see is nothing but an illusion, actually, you know. And furthermore, Shakti Parinamvada states such modification of the Pradhana or material nature does not involve any change in the essential nature or identity of Paramatma or the Absolute, you know. That's why I put it in a capital letters, you know. So here the fundamental difference in how Vivartavadis and Paramatma, the Shakti Parinamvadis define the word Sat and Asat. The Vivartavadis translate Sat as being real and Asat as being unreal. Whereas Shakti Parinamvada, the Vaishnava philosophy, they translate Sat as real and so that exists, you know. Whereas Asata, they are translating, Vaishnava's philosophy translate Asata as not being unreal, but it is real, however it is temporary. That's what they are saying there. And how they are saying that, that's an interesting point here, actually. So Shakti, as you see it here, when the word asata is used, Vivartavadi is translated as unreal. Okay? Take it to mean it's false or mithya. Whereas Shaktivadi philosophy takes it to mean real but temporary. This is the fundamental difference between the two philosophies. So that's called Satkaryavada of the Vaishnava philosophy, Shakti Parinamvada philosophy, versus the Asat Karyavada of the Vivartavada philosophy. Paramatma remains free from the defects of modification, while still being both the nimitta and constituent cause of the universe. So, you hear this point here. So, others raise this objection that the universe cannot be fundamentally real because it does not exist in all three phases of time. So by definition, anything that has to be real, it must exist past, in the past, present and in the future. Material world is clearly, obviously, it's not present in the real presently or in the future. It exists in past and so on like that. So Jiva Goswami is defining defending that point. How? So all these things I have given here, I'm going to summarize very quick. Basically, what Jiva Goswami is saying, a lot of this wordy here, you know. So I'm going to make it very, very simple, straightforward. So what he's saying, that during dissolution, when material world is not existing, so in an unmanifest state, but in the body of Mahavishnu, so it merges, it becomes it dissolves within Paramatma, alright? With Paramatma is of course Mahavishnu, is the super soul of the entire cosmos manifestation, cosmos actually. So within the body of Mahavishnu, and Mahavishnu is always of course Sat by definition. So being part of Mahavishnu, that material world is also, even though it is Asat itself, but it is Sat, it is real, because being the part of Paramatma in the body of Mahavishnu, you know. So that is the basic thing. So here Jiva Goswami is, to support that, is quoting this particular verse from Chandogya Upanishad, because that's what the Mayavadis love to quote these Shrutis, you know. They don't take the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a Smriti, not Shruti, you know. So by their own Shastra, this Chandogya Upanishad quoting, because Chandogya Upanishad says that Sad eva saumya idam agra asit, you know, that prior to its creation, this means idam, you know, it existed as, this means this material world, it really existed as a reality, Sat alone. This is because the word Sat signifies both Brahman and the universe in subtle form. So when it exists in the body of Paramatma, Mahavishnu, it is exist in its subtle form, you know. Even the jivas, with their gross and subtle bodies, they exist in the subtle body, you know. Not material, not gross, not subtle body, but exist in this subtle form, in the body of Mahavishnu. Same with material world also, you know. So the pronoun idam refers to this material universe, the manifest material universe. It is equated with Sat being real, which alone existed in the past, you know, when the universe was not yet manifest. This is because the universe as effect was within its cause. So again, we are going to learn something. We must remember this point actually, that when we say cause and effect, okay, the effect being non-real, being non-different from the cause, what we are seeing here, what Jiva Goswami is saying, that the effect is always there, even before it's manifest in the cause, in subtle form within the cause itself. So cause is the potential for the effect. Effect is always there in a dormant, subtly present within the body of cause actually. That's the point here. And that is the fundamental tenet of Satkaryavada philosophy. But the Mayavadi philosophy is called Asatkaryavada. You know? So they are talking about everything is illusory. So you see the point here? How the universe is both Ritan Asat, it's existing and non-existing, I mean, if the state. So even while in a dissolution state, when it is not manifest, it is there actually as Sat, because being the part of Mahavishnu's body, it is present, certainly present within the cause. The Mahavishnu is the cause, Paramatma is the cause, is right there within it. So that is why it is called Sat. It is always Sat in that regard. No? So cause exists independent of its effect, we saw in lesson 17. You know? And there here, just to remember, remind you about this particular verse, about the three states of intellect, buddhi, you know, the jagrata, swapna and sushupta. Jagrata means while we are awake. So when we are awake, the soul touch with both its gross body and subtle body. But when it is in a dream state, is intellect. His intellect during that time, he is not in touch with his gross body, but indeed he is in touch with his subtle body. Because of the subtle body, that's why he can experience this dream state, you know. But in a deep sleep state, he becomes detached from both gross and subtle body, you know. However, when I told you the true I consciousness, Aham Tattva, based on the spiritual platform, he is there as a witness. So even in a deep sleep state, the soul is there, is witnessing everything that goes on within the body. Even though the body, the soul is totally, completely cut off from the outside world, even his own body and gross and subtle body, nonetheless the soul as a witness. Because the example, we know that whenever in a deep sleep, you know, we cannot remember anything, you know. But when we wake up, person says that I slept very well, you know, very peacefully I slept without disturbance. How could he say that? Because the soul witnessed that effect. So in a deep sleep, the soul as a witness, the true I consciousness by which he could say that, you know. So there is defined further here, you know. So in a during awake states, jagrata, a dream state, sapna, in a deep sleep, sushupti, there are three states of intellect, buddhi, the three upadhis of the pure self, atma, who presides over them. Over them means what? Conditioned jivas. Remember, jiva and atma we defined earlier. They seem like synonymous terms, right? Both one and the same, but they are not exactly the same. When we say atma is a pure soul, you know, completely unbound by the influence of the three modes of material nature. But when it becomes bound by the three modes of material nature in material existence, then atma becomes jiva. That's the difference. So here the atma, when we say that is totally free from the influence of maya, that is the fitness for everything going. He presides over the jiva, that portion of the atma that comes under the material existence. So here, each state of the intellect, the awake state, wakeful state, is aware of his gross body, which can give up without subtle body. You know? And so he is a witness of what? He is witness of his surroundings, his material world, Vishwa, as he is a witness of the event external world. And in a dream state, as I told you, he is cut off from the from the gross body. Nevertheless, he is indeed touched in the subtle body, only through the subtle body, which is actually made up of the stages, you know. Remember, I was always thinking about that. Because we know gross body, the five Mahabhutas, is obviously, you know, the earth, water, fire, air, ether, they are material elements. I was always wondering, you know, when we say subtle body, that is also material, you know. Manobhutas, was wondering what are they made of? Actually, this Pancha Mahabhuta, every body is made of that, but in a different proportion. So this subtle body, the greatest portion of this Panchamada is actually this Tejas, fire elements is most. That's what we learn from here. Because it is through that the witness of his dreams. Of this Tejas, fire element, you know. Okay, the deep sleep state of the Buddhi, when it identifies with faith, you know. So called pra-agna. Pra-agna, agna means ignorance. Pra means is predominantly in that, you know, because it perceives nothing and remains as pure consciousness. Intellect, buddhi, and its three states of are products of maya, and the pure self, atma, is independent of them. what happened?
So, yeah, okay.
So that was lesson 17, very important lesson. So now in this lesson 18 is about Maya's relationship to both Jiva and Paramatma. And that's also a very, very important lesson actually. Because some here we see those Vidur Mahatma asking those very, very probing 8 questions to Maitreya Muni in this text 82 to 92, you know. And there, text 90 to Maitreya Muni and he replies. Some very, very important questions he put forward. And there's some important verses here. These are very, very important verses actually. No? And this makes this point very clear. So here the point is here, the Jiva is covered by Maya, but realization of Paramatma alone can liberate the Jiva, and that is the ultimate dissolution. Now when we say ultimate dissolution, there are 4, you know, ultimate dissolution in the Jiva is completely now becomes a material existence. He does not have to come back again to this material world, he goes back to spiritual world. So that's his ultimate dissolution for him, this material world, you know. So, the point here is here, the how, because Vivartavad is saying that when Brahman comes under the influence of avidya potency of Maya, and that's how he becomes Jiva, alright? So Brahman itself becomes Jiva. Now Jiva can revert back to Brahman when he becomes Brahman realized by the study of the Vedanta, you know, and of course following the practice of austerities and penance and so on like that. But the Shakti Parinamvada philosophy here saying no, it cannot be possible that, you know. It doesn't have to be there in fact, what he's saying that. Jiva Goswami is saying that there is no possibility of that, because here what he's saying that the Jiva and the nice way to understand this thing again like that Upadhi, how to understand Upadhi by the analogy itself, you know, the prison analogy that I just told you, prison and the rose flower, you know. So here it's a very nice analogy is given here that that is a cloud. Here I'll read the translation itself. Just as a dense cloud, though generated by the heat of the sun, the heat energy of the sun, because the heat energy evaporates the water from the ocean, then water that becomes a cloud actually, you know. But that cloud, so that and made visible by the light of the sun, actually obstructs our eye, our vision. We cannot see the sun behind that cloud, you know. So, being able to see is also the potency of the sun. Without light, we cannot even see that, you know. So, both cloud and our eyes are actually the potency of the sun, you know. And yet, that cloud obstructs our vision of the sun. So in the same way, what this verse is saying, our ego, the true eye consciousness, which actually eventually becomes ahankara, the undesirable, that self is actually the attribute of Brahman, Brahma Guna, you know, and illuminated by it, that is tad ikshito, obstructs the individual atma. When that atma becomes jiva. So atma is an integral part of Brahman, from realizing Brahman. So even though we are part of Brahman, we cannot realize Brahman in that sense. No. Just like cloud, it is a production, it's the origin, its origin is the sun, and yet because the cloud would obstruct the vision of the sun. So sun can perform contrary functions, both revealing and covering. The clouds are produced by the heat of the sun and they cover the vision of our eyes, which are also the energy of the sun. The clouds covers the object where sunlight reveals it. Although both are the energies of the same sun. So, when however the clouds are dispersed by the wind, the sun is then directly revealed. Similarly, when one gives up the identification with the phenomenal eye consciousness, again, phenomenal eye consciousness means what? This ahankara. The bodily conception of ego, actually, you know, aham tattva, I, me and mine, you know. So when that covers the true eye consciousness, based on spiritual platform, then, of course, we are under illusion, actually. So that embraces one's true identity, self-identity, as a servant of purpose. So when that removes, the true eye consciousness becomes revealed, then ahankara is dissolved, and then we can realize Paramatma, you know. Immediate awareness comes into play, and that is exactly shown by favorite two verses, actually, very nicely shown, you know. Gano yada arka prabhavo vidiryate chat. Gano yada arka prabhavo vidiryate. Means this kana. Kana means dense. This dense cloud. That is arka prabhavo. That is because of the, it's the heat energy of the sun. Arka means the sun. And that's why vidiryate. And that's what we visualize that. You know? And that what? Chakshu. Chakshu is the eyes. Chakshu sarupam ravim ikshate tada. And that's how our eyes, which is also, it's the true nature of our eyes, because revealed. So eyes being able to see the sun, actually. Ravim ikshate tada. Then we can see the sun, you know. So both the cloud and the eyes, both are the result of the sun. You know? So we can see the sun the same way. Yada hi ahankara hi yada, the same way. He means surely, this ahankara, this undesirable false ego, you know, the bodily conception of life, because that is upadhir atmano, that self is the upadhi of Paramatma, and that can be, and that is what preventing us to see the Paramatma, right, to realize Paramatma. So that can be reawakened by what? Jignasaya, by intense eagerness, intense inquisitiveness of Paramatma, not ordinary inquisitiveness, okay? Intense, and the next verse actually shows how intense it could be, you know. And that's how we nashyati hi tarhi anusmarat. Then we can remember, we gain our remembrance of Paramatma. So here the translation, as soon as the cloud generated by the sun is scattered by the wind, the eye sees both its own nature as well as of the sun. Similarly, when the self's agent upadhi and phenomenal eye consciousness is destroyed, nashyati, by inquiry, jignasa into Paramatma, inquiry means not into the passive but active inquiry, that is called jignasaya. The self becomes fixed in remembrance, tarhi anusmarat, of its own essential nature and Paramatma. So in our conditioned state, we have no power to free ourselves, because that's what the Vedvadis are saying, that if you study Vedanta and practice austerities and penance, then you can remove this ignorance. But Jiva Goswami says, no, that's not possible, it says. We really have no independent power ourselves to become free from material existence. Even upon being enlightened, because of knowledge, is also part of Maya, because it's the mode of material goodness. Sattvam sajayate gyanam sattvam yad brahmadarshanam. So that is comes also from Maya, you know. So that is not possible by our own effort. Only when we take shelter of Paramatma in devotional service, then our this ahankara is dissolved, and the true eye consciousness based on spiritual platform we regain. And that's what is said. Second verse, what it defines further, what is the jignasaya means, what is this active inquiry in Paramatma means, actually. Yad evam etena viveka hetina. So in the same way, this yad evam this. Again, by this way, viveka hetina, this being able to discriminate, you know. Viveka hetina means that. What we can discriminate is maya maya, this Krishna's external portion, maya maya, that is the cause of this ahankara. மாயாமய அகங்காரணம் ஆத்மபந்தனம், தட் இஸ் தி காஸ் அவர் ஆத்ம, தட் இஸ் தி காஸ் ஆஃப் மெட்டீரியல் பாண்டேஜ். So that we are able to cut it off, dissolve it off by what? By the sword, chitva, by cutting off. Chitva achyutam atma anubhava avatishtate. Chitva is cutting off by that, by the knowledge of Paramatma. By what? By what? By realization of achyuta. Achyuta means Krishna here, but here it means achyuta, the super soul, the infallible super soul. Anubhava, by experiencing that, by realization of that, avatishtate, then we regain the realization of the super soul, Paramatma realization. And that's what, why they say tam ahur. That's why the learned people say atyantikam anga samplavam. Atyantika means the final dissolution. We become totally free from material existence, and then liberation is possible, samplavam. You know? So when in this manner the bondage of the self by the phenomenal ego, that's a product of Maya, has been off with the sword of discrimination, Viveka Etina. And one becomes situated in immediate realization of the infallible Paramatma. So that is what we need to get. Because on our own effort, we cannot become free from this ahankara. That's the point here. Okay. So then this, you know, series of questions Vidur Mahatma is asking, you know, the important here actually, how can Bhagavan, who is transcendental to material nature, Chin Matrasya, he is completely pure, you know, fully contained within himself, so his Atmarama, becomes involved in activities related to material nature, how Paramatma is inclined to create this material world. So if he were to play, how could he do so with material energy? Because he's totally devoid of material things within him. He's chin matrasya, you know. And how can the conscious jiva come under the illusion influence of Maya's three modes? So jiva is also part of Paramatma. Okay? It's also chin matrasya. Constitutively, we are also pure, you know, pure consciousness. And yet, both Paramatma and jiva both being situated in the heart of the living entity, and only the jiva becomes influenced by the Paramatma, by the Maya potency of Paramatma, and Paramatma himself is not affected. How is it possible? So both Atma and Paramatma resides in the same body, so why is it only the individual Atma suffers and enjoys the outcome of karma, and what makes Paramatma immune to such experience? So those are the fundamental questions that is asked. So the best way to cover all this thing, what I've done is this, the quiz that I gave you earlier, questions and answers, you know. And I try my best to avoid giving quiz anymore now, because most of you don't want that. But here's one example of how it can serve a purpose actually. If you want to, best ways to, review all this thing is by this quiz, questions and answers actually. Yeah? So the first question is how the bondage of the jiva can be possible at all when the latter is superior to Paramatma's external potency of Maya. So, jiva being this spiritual energy is superior to Maya being the inferior energy. How is it possible? So, answer is because of this transrational, which is human, beyond human logic and reasoning, power of Maya, just as Paramatma. Second question, because Bhagavan is fully satisfied in himself, Atmarama, and what could possibly impel him to create the cosmos in the first place? The answer is, he is simply out of love for those of his devotees who could not attain perfection of the devotional service unto him in the previous cycle and who are still lying dormant within Paramatma. So his true intent behind creation is simply to provide yet another opportunity for them to complete the course of their devotion. Third question. It is the Vivartavadi contention that the jiva's bondage is due to his ignorance. And so upon being enlightened by studying Vedanta and practicing austerities, he can remove the sajnana and become Brahman realized. No? But that is not what Vivartavada, by Parishati Parinamvada or Srimad Bhagavatam says that. So Jiva Goswami shows that there is no necessity for such an occurrence. What is then actually needed? Explain the energy offered in this context. So no one can become liberated by his own efforts. Only those who take shelter of him can transcend his formidable maya. You know, this is, if the vision of the sun is covered by the dense cloud, which is a result of the sun's own heat energy, the eyes have no power to dispel it. The sun alone can dispel the cloud. Once the cloud is dispersed and there is light, the eyes can function. Similarly, in our conditioned state, we have no power to become released from our own conditioning. Even when situated in knowledge, we cannot become free. Because knowledge too is part of the maya, material mode of goodness. You know? So even if one realizes that he is not the body and thus become jivan mukta, we cannot attain freedom from ahankar tattva, the undesirable I consciousness, which remains within the maya's domain. It is the real I consciousness of the pure spirit soul that is needed, and that can come only by Paramatma realization. The fourth question was, how can the nirguna Paramatma associate with the gunas? Remember, Paramatma is totally devoid of material modes, and yet Paramatma sustains this universe by the material mode of goodness. How is it possible? So that is also again, the answer is by the maya that is under his shelter and which consists of the three modes of material nature. Paramatma regulates it and causes the universe to become unmanifest in the reverse order. He is exclusively all consciousness, chin matrasya, immutable and remains untouched by the modes. Even his cosmic pastimes cannot be the cause behind creation. His Swarupa Shakti is inconceivable and transrational. So that is the real reason actually. And Maya is owned by Paramatma. His Maya is actually his reflection. Reflection cannot touch the original, you know. But reflection can touch others. So how can the Jiva be deluded? It is through Maya's delusions. This Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. Jiva Maya removes his true knowledge and replaces with the false knowledge, you know, by Guna Maya. Guna Maya gives the object of his attraction, enjoyment, material enjoyment. So even though Jiva is Chin Matrasya, he belongs to Bhagavan's marginal potency, meaning he oscillates between Lord's internal potency and his external potency. When he voluntarily turns away himself from the Lord because of his misuse of his free will due to the strong material desires independent of Bhagavan, the Jiva comes under the spell of Maya. So why is Paramatma not influenced by Maya? Because Maya is owned by Paramatma, Paramatma controls Maya, and Maya is also a shadow of Paramatma. Okay, then final point now. How Maitreya Muni explained that Jiva's bond is not real, rather it's apparent. So here the nice thing is that it's like a dream state. In a dream state, sometimes we see our head is chopped off. That is of course not possible. When head is chopped off, how can we see ourselves, you know? So this dream state also is like that actually, you know? Because Maya Jiva's loss of knowledge and bliss makes it appearance without cause or purpose. It is similar to the seer of a dream experiencing his head being cut off, which is impossible. So it is not possible for the Jiva to lose his inherent nature, which is consciousness and self-awareness, and becomes bound by the three modes of material nature, yet by the inconceivable power of Maya, it does appear to be the case. So she makes us see things that are other than reality by this Guna Maya and Jiva Maya, you know. The Jiva appears to be bound, though in fact he is ever free. It's like a dream state. When we wake up, no more those nightmares, you know. So we wake up means we become Paramatma, realize, then we are free. That's the point here. And Maitreya Muni gives a very nice analogy also, this under the moonlight, in the moon, you know, in the turbulent water, the moon becomes wavery, you know, shimmering, because of the displacement of the water actually by the wind. In reality, moon itself is not like that. Okay, the last point here, the last few minutes, please forgive me for if I go 5 or 10 minutes beyond that, okay? And this is about that I'm going to summarize very quickly here. This is about the Bhagavan's impartiality. Even Parishad Maharaj actually asked the question here, that Paramatma, we know the different incarnation of the Bhagavan. He appears in the sense of material world, and he appears to kill the demons, whereas he always protects the demigods. Isn't that a partiality or not, you know? So if it is partiality, then clearly that he must also come under the influence of the modes of material nature, actually, you know? So Bhagavan acts, so answer is here, Bhagavan acts only for the delight of his devotees. Devotees are self-satisfied. Bhakti exists both in devotee as well as in Bhagavan, you know. So this is a mutual relationship, devotee and Bhagavan. So most important slide is this one, in this regard, you know. So Jiva defends Bhagavan's partiality towards his devotee by first examining the psychology of compassion, you know. So what is compassion means? Compassion means the transformation of heart or mind, chitta, you know. So that arises when heart directly contacts the misery of another person. When impelled by such compassion, the person moves to act for another's welfare, you know. So he feels empathy in relation to the other's misery. So this empathy impels one to remove the misery of another person. But the point is here that one is develops that empathy for someone, of someone's misery, if he himself only has undergone such a misery before, you know. It's just like somebody's pierced his throat. Unless he himself is the piercing by a thorn, how is he going to feel the pain for others who pierce by the same way, you know? Now this is not possible in Paramatma, because Paramatma never undergoes suffering. The suffering is due to karmas. Paramatma has no karmas, you know. This is the point about this stone. So Paramatma, Bhagavan has no experience of material misery. So he does not feel compassion because of that, you know. So Jiva Goswami to this objection replies that the pain and pleasure of a devotee are not material, first at that point, you know. Rather, they are both manifestations of bhakti, the intrinsic potency of the Lord, you know. So therefore he experiences only his intrinsic potency while realizing the pain and pleasure of his devotee through bhakti, you know. So thus the principle that he is unable to experience material pain and pleasure is not really violated. So one may object this contention based on Gajendra pastimes. Wasn't that Lord able to empathize with the pain of Gajendra? Question might be asked. So Jiva Goswami is responding that while it is a fact that Gajendra was in material pain, Bhagavan did not rescue him out of empathy for his pain, but because of his prayers that, "My Lord, you are my only shelter." So because of his intense bhakti, and that's what he was calling the Lord. So Lord came up, Lord was impelled by his bhakti process, by his prayers. This came not because of his material suffering, you know. That's the point. So conclusion is that the compassion of the Lord or his pure devotees manifests as a result of their bhakti and not because of the material suffering of the person so blessed. Okay, so that sort of concludes. I have completed time. So that really, I gave you a bird's eye view of the entire ontology of Maya. So many slides were there. It's like a movie, and you want to make a trailer, a 2 or 3 hour movie, and you want to condense to just a 3 minute trailer. That's what happens like that, you know. So I just touched basic highlights of this, you know. Hare Krishna. like to hypothetically, if all the jivas burn their karmas by adopting the path of bhakti, then the material world will be without jivas. Can it ever happen? Why can it happen in why can't it happen in Satyuga? Actually, this point we covered in one of the classes, if you remember, actually, no? This is not possible, actually. Because new jivas are coming all the time. When the jivas become liberated, those who are already in material world, spiritual world, but the jivas, new jivas have already come into entry, because they are, this point actually we covered several weeks ago, actually, one of this point, if you go back to slides, I'll look it up, that slide, and send you back then. No. Alright, Sharad Prabhu? But the point is here, that the pool of jivas are already there, and keeps coming to material world. Okay, since we are time up, so we're going to conclude the class, and next week we'll begin taking the fourth theme, lessons 21, 22, 23, 24 actually, you know. And that will complete about three classes. So Vishana, if you're ready, let's conclude the class. Hare Krishna.
Namaste Narasimhaya. Namaste Narasimhaya. Pralabhade Dayini. Pralabhade Dayini. Hiranyakashi Purvaksha. Hiranyakashi Purvaksha. Shilatankhanakalai Ibho Narsimho Parito Narsimho Ibho Narsimho Parito Narsimho Yato Yato Yami Tato Narsimho Yato Yato Yami Tato Narsimho Bahir Narsimho Hridaye Narsimho Bahir Narsimho Hridaye Narsimho Narsimha Madim Sharanam Prapade Narsimha Madim Sharanam Prapade Sabhakara Kamala Vari Naham Adbhuta Sringam Dalita Hiranyakashipu Thanu Bringam Keshavadrika Narahari Rupa Je Jagadisha Hari Jaya Jagadisha Hari Jaya Jagadisha Hari Keshavadrika Narahari Rupa Je Jagadisha Hari Jaya Jagadisha Hari Jaya Jagadisha Hari Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Narsimha Dev